With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber, and what is in my mind today? Well, week one is officially in the books, so let's go ahead and take a look back and see what we saw, see if there's anything we can learn, anything to look forward to in the future. First off, well, the Cowboys and Eagles played last Thursday night. We all know what happened there. I discussed it in my last episode. If you missed it, go check it out. Friday, Chiefs and Chargers. Chargers take down the Chiefs. I changed my pick last minute on this game. I had the Chargers all the way. I really think the Chiefs are headed for a down year compared to their standards. And it really looked like it, if anything. There was one takeaway I had from that game as well. The Chiefs roster outside of Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones looks pretty average to me. You know, we'll see if they can get those speedy receivers up to speed on their offense and see if Xavier Worthy can come back healthy. But I still see a down year from them, and they just did not do enough in the offseason, in my opinion, to fix their offensive line, which was their biggest issue. Cardinals Saints, I didn't see any of that game, but it pretty much went the way we thought with the Cardinals pulling it out. They didn't look too explosive on offense, and the Saints are still tough to play in that building. Now, the Colts-Dolphins, I feel like I was one of the few people that had this one. I met so many people at the casino and different folks that I talked to. Everybody took the Dolphins, and it wasn't even close. And I just don't see the Dolphins in that mode. They're getting older on offense. Tua is getting to the point where these injuries that he had may be accumulative. And he was really rattled in the pocket on Sunday. And so I expect them to improve because they've still got some really talented offensive skill position players, and Tua is not a bad quarterback, but he's definitely had his issues since having these concussion problems. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. It'll also be interesting to watch Daniel Jones, see if he can continue his success and what that looks like for the Colts this year. Because if he can be an above average QB, there's no reason the Colts can't win 9-10 games. So we'll see what happens with that down the line. Now, Raiders-Patriots, I also had that one. I just think the combination of Geno Smith and Pete Carroll and Max Crosby and Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty was good enough to get them the road victory against a team that's trending upward. Everybody has kind of jumped on that New England hype train since they seemingly had a really good offseason as far as free agency and the draft. but it's still going to take time for those things to come together. And although Mike Vrabel has been a head coach in the past, this is still his first year in New England. It takes time for teams to gel. And Drake May is only a second-year quarterback who started maybe a handful of games last year. Let's pump the brakes on the Patriots being a great team just yet. I think by the end of the season, they're going to be a whole lot better than they are now. But how good and what the record ends up to be, we'll see. Steelers-Jets. Unfortunately, I had the Jets in this one. Obviously, they put up a really good fight, I think much more so offensively than people were expecting. And I've always been a Justin Fields fan. Even going back to that draft, I was kind of on the Justin Fields bandwagon as far as us taking him instead of JC. Now, obviously, JC's turned out to be a really good player, and Fields has had a really up and down career so far in the NFL, but he's obviously got talent, not just in his legs, but in his arm. Go back and watch that game where they routed Clemson in the college football playoffs after he took the most brutal hit I've ever, well, one of the most brutal hits I've ever seen. So that was no surprise to me. It was a surprise to me that Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers offense was on the same page so quickly. I kind of anticipated that they would struggle given the fact that they didn't really play in the preseason, especially Aaron Rodgers. And when you're working with new offensive line, new running backs, new wide receivers, new tight ends, it just, like that time we were talking about, it takes time to gel. Well, they sure seem to gel really early on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to watch that to see if that is the same going forward. And also that vaunted Steelers defense, who I expected to put up much bigger fight. And the Jets have a good defense. The score of that game blew my mind. I expected that to be a 20-17 game. And, you know, obviously both teams were in the 30s. So yeah, definitely a different start for those two teams than I expected. So we'll see what happens moving forward. Giants, Commanders. I actually picked the Giants to upset the Commanders in this one just because I am not as big a believer in the Commanders as a lot of people. I know I think they're a good, solid team, and it really depends on Jaden Daniels, if he can repeat the success that he had in his rookie year, of how good they can really be. But they are an older team, and they are relying on a lot of one-year guys to see if they can, you know, hit a good year for them and make a push to make the playoffs, because that team's salary cap was in such a mess after the team sale a couple of years ago. And this is what they've had to do. So we'll see if it works again. And you know, my takes a lot of these things is, we'll see, because I want to see. I want to watch these games. I want to see how these teams develop. I want to see how the season goes before I make some blatant hot take on the future of X, Y, or Z, because that's bullshit to me. And anybody who comes out and says that they know what's going to happen the rest of the season or the rest of somebody's career just based on week one is full of shit. So I intend to watch and see the games and study them and then make predictions based on that, especially because this first month of the season, so many teams are getting used to playing, getting back in football shape because they did not play the starters during the preseason. So it's going to take time for some of these teams. So let's just wait and see, huh? Anyway, yes, I did pick the Giants, mostly based on their defensive line and how dominant I think it can be with Brian Burns, Abdul Carter. Dexter Lawrence is still there. Oh, crap. Now I'm second guessing myself. Kayvon Thibodeau. So we'll see if that unit can really get it going. They were able to stymie Jaden Daniels and the Commanders for most of the game, but the offense couldn't score any points. And what I did see of Russell Wilson, he just looked like he wasn't ready to start the season. And that could be just a one-week thing. That also could be, well, now that Russell's in his upper 30s, maybe he's just kind of lost it as far as being a quality starter in this league. But we'll see. Obviously, one game is one game, and there are 16 left to go in this season. Obviously, it's the NFL, and you have to win as much as possible, and every game matters, and winning matters, even in week one, because the season is so short. But luckily, it's just week one. There's 16 more to go. So, moving on. The Bucks-Falcons. I expected the Bucks to have a little bit easier time scoring than they did, but it looks like Emeka Ogbuka is going to be a legit wide receiver in the NFL. Everybody was talking about him, raving about him in camp, Baker Mayfield especially. And he was able to go out in his first NFL game and snag 2 touchdowns, including the game winner with under a minute to go. So the Bucks picked up right where they left off, even though they didn't beat the Falcons last year. Falcons had their number, but honestly, we'll see how good the Falcons are this year, but I don't expect Michael Penix to be an upper echelon quarterback right away. He's only started 3 games in his NFL career, and they do have a great running back, Bijan Robinson, and a wide receiver in Drake London. But outside of those guys, their skill position players are kind of lacking. Well, Tyler Algiers is a great running back as well, but wide receivers, tight ends, especially with some injuries, they're fairly thin at those positions, and their defense has not been good in years. They can't get a pass rush either. So we'll see how that team evolves, but I don't expect them to start the season fast, and they didn't at home against the Bucks. 49ers Seahawks. I didn't see any of this game. I obviously saw the outcome. But when I talked to the folks that I know, said the Niners had a really lucky win and they lost George Kittle, their all-pro tight end, for at least a month on IR. And folks are talking about Brock Purdy possibly missing this next game at New Orleans because of a shoulder injury. So the injury problems for the Niners just keep getting worse, especially on offense. Juwan Jennings got hurt again. They signed another free agent wide receiver, Kendrick Bourne, I believe, this week. And, you know, their rookie kicker from a couple years ago, who was supposed to be this prodigy, keeps on missing field goals. They cut him this week. So there's a lot of turmoil in Niners camp, whereas the Seahawks obviously couldn't get on the scoreboard very much. So they're going to have to look to rebound against the Steelers this next week on the road. Now, the Steelers gave up a lot of points to the Jets, but their talent level suggests that they are not going to give up that many points on a regular basis. So we'll see on that one. Titans Broncos, not surprising that the rookie first rounder on the worst team in the league last year did not win his first start. However, I was a little surprised about Denver's offensive output, and Bo Nix threw a couple interceptions, so that'll be something to look at, especially because I picked the Broncos to win the Super Bowl this year. So that'll be interesting watch to move forward. Then we have the Lions-Packers. Also not surprising to me that the Lions look like they're taking a little bit of a step back. They've lost their 2 offensive and defensive coordinators this past season, which everybody has talked about ad nauseum, whether it will or whether it won't set them back as a team. In week 1, they lost. So it looks like a setback at this point. How will they rebound? That's the interesting thing going into week 2 of the NFL season, is see which one of these 0-1 teams that performed poorly, you know, against what was thought about them in the preseason, who is going to rebound, who is going to get the win in week 2, and who is going to look impressive. Because not all of them are going to go 0-2. Some of these teams will rebound, and some of them will end up making the playoffs as well. So that's what I'm looking for. Who in week 2 is going to rebound? And I could definitely see the Lions rebounding. They've got too much talent across the board, and they are well coached at the top. So we'll see how they rebound. The Packers look like a front runner in the NFC, especially with the addition of Micah Parsons. I already thought that they had a more consistent roster than Detroit and consistent leadership at the head coach position. I am not a huge fan of Dan Campbell's go for it on every fourth down sort of attitude. Now, Jordan Love also has been talked about a preseason MVP candidate, possibly. You can't win that award in week 1, but you can win a game, and they're 1-0, and that helps, especially going into the first Thursday night game of the year, which I'll be interested to watch tomorrow. Texans-Rams, this one surprised me a little bit as far as the Texans were concerned. Well, and really, it's kudos to the Rams. I did not expect the Rams defense to come out and shut down the Texans like they did. In this game, I was really looking for the Texans defense because I think that they have one of, if not the best defense in the NFL. And they played a solid game. They held Matthew Stafford and the Rams to 14 points at home, but obviously couldn't get the win with only 9 of their own. So the difficult part about that is Houston's revamped offensive line, which was the worst part of their team last year, sustained at least 2 injuries, significant ones, in the first week of the year. So that takes Houston from a team where I kind of solidly may have put them in that playoff division winning conversation, but with the Colts gaining ground possibly and the Jaguars possibly as well, if their offensive line can't perform better than they did last year, that division might be in jeopardy no matter how good a defense they have. So that will be something to look forward to from the Texans as far as how is that offensive line going to perform in the next coming weeks. And going
with the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Back to the Rams. Hey, they got the win. You get out of week one with a win with only 14 points. That's great. The thing to watch with the Rams, it's Matthew Stafford's health. How will that be going forward? And what are we going to see from him the rest of the season? Is he going to be out there for the rest of the season? Because with Jimmy Garoppolo as their backup quarterback, the Rams are only going to go to the playoffs if Stafford is in there. Bills Ravens, how about that one? Actually, this was my bad. Of course, I turned it off in the third quarter just because I was kind of footballed out. And we're going to discuss the Panthers game here in a minute. And it was just hard to be as excited for a full day of football, you know, that last quarter anyway, with our poor performance. But hey, 41-40 comeback win by Buffalo in Buffalo over the Baltimore Ravens. 2 Super Bowl favorite heavyweights going toe-to-toe in week one. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the last 2 MVPs. You couldn't ask for more. And they delivered, including the Bills, with a 17-point comeback in the fourth quarter. Amazing game. Those two teams are teams to watch for the Super Bowl because they are already in midseason form, and I expect them to cruise through the regular season. On to Monday night, that Vikings-Bears game started out great for the Bears. Another comeback for the Vikings, 21 points in the fourth quarter with their rookie second-year quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, starting his first NFL game, and he had 3 touchdowns, 2 passes, and 1 run after he threw a pick 6. So maybe he had 4 touchdowns. But you saw the resilience and the team mindset and Kevin O'Connell and J.J. McCarthy's calm under pressure that won that game for the Vikings. And you saw the opposite from Caleb Williams and the Bears. Caleb Williams came out and had a great first half, was throwing the ball all over the yard. The Bears were up big. And then it all went stale. And while J.J. McCarthy had no problem leading his team back, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, and the Bears couldn't do anything right. So those are going to be 2 teams that are going to be tightly linked. Obviously, NFC North division rivals, but having the 2 young quarterbacks and the new coach in Chicago and the old coach in Minnesota and them switching quarterbacks this last year who's going to have the better season. And I think it's Minnesota. Minnesota's got the better roster. They've been together longer. They're really well coached. I think Kevin O'Connell just took another step up in my mind, definitely as a play caller, but as an overall head coach. So look out for the Vikings. The Bears are on their way. They've got a lot more talent. It's just, can they get it together? Can it come together and be what they want it to be, especially with the new coach, Ben Johnson? It'll take time to gel, so we'll see. Now we got to get to our game, unfortunately. And boy, am I tired of saying, gee, that didn't go how we wanted it to. So let's get into it. Carolina Panthers took on Jacksonville on Sunday, and we lost 26-10 in Jacksonville. There was over an hour delay in the second quarter because of a lightning storm, and anytime something like that happens, it's kind of weird. It can throw things off. It also can ignite a team if they've started off. We did not start off well. We came out offensively well. Here, let's look at the stats first here. So Bryce was 18 of 35 for 154 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, and a fumble lost. He also had five rushes for 40 yards. Chuba Hubbard, our main running back, had 16 carries for 57 yards. That's only 3.6 a carry, so not a great average. As in total, as a team, we had 25 rushes for 113 yards with 4.5 a carry being the clip. That's not bad as far as 4.5 a carry is something that we want. Those 25 rushes, especially because five of them came from Bryce, and those aren't designed runs. Those are scrambles on pass plays. So they aren't actually called run plays. So we only called 20 run plays. I think for us to have success as a team, that number needs to be in the 25 to 35 range. But when you don't have offensive success or continuity in the pass game and you get down early like we did, it's hard to continue to run the football successfully because you're chasing points. So significant numbers from the receiving game was really just Teterowick McMillan, our rookie first rounder, five catches for 68 yards. That's 13.6 a clip, which is really good. Nothing else significant in the pass game, unfortunately. Looking at our defense, we did have the J.C. Horn interception, which is great. No sacks and only one QB hit, which our defense played pretty solidly on Sunday. But if we want to win a bunch of games this year, we're going to have to be able to affect the passer, and we're going to need to get a better pass rush, which brings me to our first injury note of the year. Turk Wharton, our defensive tackle that we signed from Kansas City, that we're hoping to have a big impact for us this year, started off the game well, is out with a hamstring now for 2 to 4 weeks. So we'll hope it's more on the two than the four, because we need him to solidify the depth of that defensive line and not only help us get off the pass rush, but stop the run as well. Going to the other side of things, Trevor Lawrence was 19 of 31 for 178 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The interception by JC was great. And we need a whole lot more turnovers from this defense if we're going to take a next step as a team as well. So that was good to see. A thing that wasn't good to see is that Travis Etienne, their lead back, had 16 carries for 143 yards, and that's 8.9 a carry, with a long of 71. And really, as far as I thought before this season, as long as our defense can play mediocre ball, like mid-range, then this team is going to have the opportunity to win a lot, just because the offense I saw as being above the defense. Well, the offense did not play as good as the defense on Sunday. The defense held up its bargain. It was middle of the pack. The one play that it gave up, that if it doesn't give up that play, it's looking a whole lot better, is this 71-yard run to Etienne. They were backed up in their own zone. It didn't make a touchdown, but it set up their second one, and it really put us behind the eight ball. And what you see on this play is Trevon Moehrig coming up with outside contain, and Etienne makes a beautiful move in the hole and is able to squirt past him. And Morik does the right thing as far as keeping his outside contained, because you want to force the ball back inside so all the defenders that are clogging up the middle of the field can run and help and tackle him. Well, we must have had a run blitz on at the time, because all the linebackers, the secondary, were washed up into the line already. So by the time that Etienne made that move, got past Morik in the hole, there was nobody there. And we were really fortunate that Wallace was able to track him down and give him a tackle on the sideline 71 yards later, because it easily could have been a touchdown. So obviously we want to clean that up. And that's the thing about football, is that one play can change a game. And that one play changed our defensive game and put us behind the eight ball early with a second touchdown for Jacksonville. Other than that, general notes on our game and how we want to look moving forward, because Bryce did not look good. The offensive passing game never got in a rhythm, so we were never able to really dig into the playbook and go outside. And I'll say what I said last week, the week before: once we traded Adam Thielen and we let go of Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason, those are two veterans that could have helped us tremendously in this game, not only with their veteran leadership, but their playmaking ability. And once we got rid of those guys, sure, we paved the way for the young guys to get on the field and to grow and learn and get playing time. But the truth of it is, they are not as polished as professionals, as playmakers, mentally, physically, experience-wise, and they are not going to be able to contribute as much, as often, because of that. They are going to grow, they are going to get better, but having Lee Gett out there not being able to get his feet in bounds twice, having Hunter Renfro out there dropping balls, Bryce underthrowing guys, overthrowing guys, everything was just a little bit off. And if you have Adam Thielen, that veteran safety blanket that you went to on all those third downs, fourth downs, red zone type situations before, maybe we convert some of those and have a better chance to win this game. And maybe Clowney is able to make a few plays on defense that the rookies couldn't. So it's disappointing. It's disappointing to know that we could have been a better team right now, today, if we had not gotten rid of those guys. Sure, we may be a better team in 3-4 months than we are right now, and better team than we would have been with those guys. But what are we doing today? You know, that's the thing. We haven't made the playoffs in 8 years. And as a team, as a coach, as a quarterback, as fans, this was the year to push the chips in for Bryce's success, winning games, putting up numbers on offense. And what you did by taking away those players is you made it harder on everyone. And I like the draft and develop. I like putting some trust in the young guys, but we need veteran leadership if we're going to be a complete team. And we shipped off our veteran leadership that could have made a difference for us in week one. And it's really disappointing to sit here and say, oh, that wasn't what we wanted again. That being said, I will quote a quarterback I hate, and I will talk to myself just as much as I'm talking to you guys. Relax. Everybody, just take a deep breath. Realize that it's week one. See how we started the year last year and see how we ended it. And know that we are going to improve every single week. And knowing that we have a quarterback who has some upper echelon abilities within him, because we saw it last year. And the offense was just not ready to play. Will they be ready to play in Arizona next week? Two road games to start the year, not ideal, but life isn't ideal. And sometimes you got to go in hostile environment and get a win anyway. So that is obviously what I'm looking to most this week. Not just all those other 0-1 teams, and how they're going to bounce back and show their colors on Sunday. But how are we going to bounce back? How are we going to show that this season and that this team is going to win games? I can't wait to see on Sunday. We'll see. I'll be back later in the week with a game preview and a Sunday preview for the NFL. But until then, enjoy the week, work hard, keep pounding, and let's go Panthers.